So Israel wanted a king. They wanted to be like all the nations around them. And that's our temptation really as well, to want to just be like the world around us. And Samuel had told them that by rejecting God as their king, they were really saying that they didn't want to be his people. And he told them that if you have a king, he's going to do all bad things to you. But they said, no, we want to have a king. The more he warned them, the more they just said, no, we don't want to listen to all the reasons. Give us a king. And so God gave them a king, rather like the father of the prodigal son. He let the son have the money, even though he knew what he was going to do. And so God doesn't force us to be good. He lets us do things which he knows are going to be bad for us.
Because he's very kind.
Well, he is very kind, and he respects us, and he respects our free will. That means our freedom to do what we want. Because he doesn't force us, he doesn't make us good. He says, look, here's the choice. So they wanted to have a king, so he said, okay. And we're going to read how he found a king for them. This is the first of Samuel, chapter 9. Now there was a man of the tribe of Benjamin called Kish. He had a son whose name was Saul. He was an impressive young man. He was the tallest man in Israel. Now Kish had some donkeys that got lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, take one of the servants with you and go and look for the donkeys. He went all over the hill country, but they didn't find these donkeys. They went here and there to Shalim and everywhere. They didn't find them, all over Benjamin. And finally, Saul said to his servant, come, let's go home. Otherwise, my father will stop worrying about the lost donkeys and start worrying about us. His servant said, look, in this city, there's a man of God, and he's a man who is respected. Whatever he says comes true. Let's go there. Perhaps he can tell us which way to go. Saul said to his servant, but if we go, what shall we bring to the man? Now they're talking about Samuel. Saul said, I've got no gift really to give to the man of God. What have we got between us? Now, Saul didn't know Samuel. Samuel, we read, went round on a circuit teaching the people of Israel in different towns. And it's clear that Saul hadn't bothered to go even once because he didn't even recognize Samuel. And he thought that you've got to pay money to get some teaching and some wisdom out of Samuel. So he really didn't understand true religion at all. Well, the servant said to Saul, I've got a quarter of a shekel of silver. I can give that to the man of God to tell us our way. So Saul agreed. They went to the city where the man of God was. And as they went up the hill to the city, they found some girls going out to draw water. And they said to the girls, is the prophet here? The girl said, he is. Look, he's just in front of you. Hurry up. He's come today into the city because there's a sacrifice today in the high place. As soon as you come into the city, you'll immediately find him. He's just going up to the high place. So they didn't even realize that this was a day for sacrifice. So it just shows that Saul was really not a religious person. He really didn't know the law of God. He had not paid attention to Samuel's teaching and couldn't even be bothered to go out and meet him. They went up to the city. As they came into the city, Samuel came out toward them. Now, God had revealed to Samuel a day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time I'll send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you must anoint him to be prince over my people Israel, and he will save my people from the hand of the Philistines. Because I am going to do what my people asked me for, that is, give them a king. When Samuel saw Saul, God said to him, here's the man that I told you about. He's going to be the ruler. So Samuel came up to Saul. Then Saul came near to Samuel and said, please can you tell me where the prophet's house is? So he didn't even recognize Samuel. Samuel replied to Saul, I am the prophet. Please go in front of me to the high place, and you shall eat with me today, and in the morning I'll let you go, and I'll tell you all that's in your heart. And as for your donkeys, which got lost 3 days ago, don't worry about them. They've been found. And you know, the desire of all Israel is upon you and your father's family. Saul replied, am I not a Benjamite, which is one of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And isn't my family the smallest of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Why then do you speak to me like this? Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the guest room, and he made them sit in the best place among the guests. There were about 30 people there. Samuel said to the cook, bring the portion of meat which I give you, and which I tell you to set aside. The cook took up the thigh, which was reckoned to be the best piece of the meat, and set it before Saul. Samuel said, here is what has been kept for you. Eat it, because it's been kept for you for this occasion. So Saul ate with Samuel that day. When they came down from the high place into the city, Samuel talked with Saul on the housetop. They got up early at daybreak, and Samuel called to Saul on the housetop, get up, that I may send you away. Saul arose, and they went outside together. And as they were going down to the edge of the city, Samuel said to Saul, tell your servant to go on ahead of us. And he did so. But you stay here first, because I need to tell you the message of God. So Samuel took some oil and poured it on the head of Saul. That means he anointed him. And he kissed him and said, God has anointed you to be prince over his people. When you've left me today, you will find two men by Rachel's tomb. And they will tell you, the donkeys which you went to seek have been found, and your father has stopped worrying about the donkeys and is worried about you. Then you will go on from there, and you will come to the oak that's in Tabor, and the three men are going to meet you, going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. They'll greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you must accept. After that, you will come to the hill of God, where the garrison of the Philistines is. And when you come near to the city, you'll meet a band of prophets coming down from the high place, with tambourine, a pipe, and a harp being played. They'll be prophesying, and the Spirit of Yahweh will come mightily on you, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into another person. See, that's what happens when you get the Spirit, when you're baptized. God slowly changes you into another person.
And so turned you into another person. Also, if you want to be have a nice heart or have a hard heart.
That's right. It's like God hardened Pharaoh's heart, because that's how Pharaoh wanted to be. So it's not that God forces you to be another person, but if you want to be another person, God will make you be another person, if that's what you want. But I don't think Saul used all this help that he was given, that he could have had. And then Samuel said, when these signs have happened, then you will know that God is with you. Then go down before me to Gilgal, and I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings. Wait 7 days until I come to you, and I'll show you what you must do next. So when Saul turned to walk away from Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all those signs happened that day. So you see, Saul didn't have to turn bad. He did, but God had given him this spirit that changed him. And yet he didn't want it. And that's what's so sad. And people get baptized and God gives them his spirit and then they don't want it. It's so sad. When they came to the hill, a band of prophets met Saul, and the Spirit of God came mightily on Saul, and he prophesied among them. And all the people who knew him before saw that he was prophesying with the prophets. The people said to each other, whatever is this that's happened to Kish's son? Is Saul also among the prophets? And so it became a proverb. Is Saul also among the prophets? You might say that if someone who's not very spiritual suddenly acts in a very religious or spiritual kind of way, is Saul also among the prophets? When he came to the high place, Saul's uncle said to him and to his servant, where did you go? Saul said, to seek the donkeys. When we saw that they were not to be found, we came to Samuel. Saul's uncle said, so tell me, what did Samuel tell you? Saul just said to his uncle, well, he told us that the donkeys had been found. But concerning the matter of the kingdom and being king, of which Samuel had told him, Saul didn't tell his uncle. Samuel called the people together to Mizpah, and he said to the people of Israel, thus says Yahweh, the God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt. I delivered you from the Egyptians and from the hand of all that oppressed you. But this day you have rejected your God as your king, who himself saves you out of all your distresses and problems. You have said to God, no, set a king over us. So come and present yourselves by your tribes. All the tribes of Israel came together, and the tribe of Benjamin was chosen. Then all the families in the tribe of Benjamin had to come forward, and the family of the Matrites was taken. And then Saul the son of Kish was taken, but when they looked for Saul, they couldn't find him. So they asked of God again, did the man come here? And God answered, he has hidden himself among the baggage. They ran and fetched him, and when he stood among the people, he was taller than any of the people. He was the tallest man in Israel.
So he was a bit like a giant?
Well, he was a bit, yes, and that's why it was really Saul who should have fought with giant Goliath. But he didn't, and that's why I think he was all the more jealous of David. Samuel said to all the people, you see the one whom Yahweh has chosen, that there is none like him among all the people? All the people shouted, long live the king! Samuel then told the people how the kingdom should be run, wrote it in a book, and laid it up before Yahweh, probably in the ark. Samuel sent all the people away to their homes, and Saul also went to his house to Gibeah.
So Samuel knew how to write.
Yes, he did.
Because most people didn't.
Yeah, that is very true. I hadn't thought of that. Yeah, most people in Israel would have been illiterate. That is, they couldn't read or write at that time, but Samuel could. That's true.
Because he grew up in the temple, didn't he?
Well, in the tabernacle, because the temple wasn't built then, but yes. And he would have wanted to read God's law, the law of Moses. So I expect that's why he learned how to read and therefore to write. So Saul went back to his house, to Gibeah, and with him some strong men whose hearts God had touched. But some bad, worthless fellows said, how can this man save us? They despised him and brought him no presents. But he didn't pay attention to that. So he started off wise. Like if somebody says something nasty to you, you don't go and hit them. You don't respond to it. Sometimes you act as if you're deaf. Pay no attention. And he started off humble, hiding among the baggage. Oh no, I don't want to be the king. But he was given this potential, but he didn't live up to it. And this is probably, as young people growing up knowing God, knowing the Bible, this is so true for us, that we have been given so much that's possible, and we've got to live according to that possibility.